All right, we're in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we stopped last time at verse number 6. So we'll go on to verse number 7. 5, I guess we'll start with 6. You ready? Start with 6, 7, and 8. Be careful for nothing, but be in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. All right, verse number 6 starts off with be careful for nothing. In this sense, what does careful mean? Anxious? Worried or concerned? Anxious? Oh, so careful for nothing. Now, Paul is where now as he's writing this? In jail, in Rome. If you have any comments or questions, simply call us. Questions at vftbc.org or also call us at 856-261-9018. Welcome those who are listening by other means. So he's in jail. He says, be careful or worry. Now, does he have cause for worry and fretting and anxiety? Sure, plenty of cause for it, but he says no. He's got to be a good example. And in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now be anxious or worried or careful for nothing. What does he say? What two things does he tell us to do? Prayer and supplication. Now, prayer would be just regular talking to the Lord. What would supplication mean? What is it? Add to it. Asking things, asking supplication. To supplicate, it means to ask for separate things. But what is it? What is prayer and supplication to be connected with and accompanied by? Thanksgiving. Why should the thanksgiving be accompanied with prayer? All right, that's one thing. Careful prayers are answered. But thanksgiving always. Be thankful in all things for everything. Give thanks for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, as he says other places. So prayer with thanksgiving. Let your requests. What are requests? What you want, things you want, your list of things. Things you're asking for. All right, be known unto God. Now, does that say known through Mary or through the saints? Or straightly unto God. Do we have to go through a saint or through Mary? What is the only person we go through in our prayers according to the New Testament? The Lord Jesus Christ, asking in his name, through him. And what type of people can ask through his name? All believers, saved people only. The others don't know the Lord Jesus, so they don't have anything to ask through his name. They're not in Christ. So it has to be thanksgiving through his name. Yes? Oh, yes, Vaughn?
They do ask,
though. Oh, yes. But they don't get through unless they go through the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are saved. And that's the way that God has told us to do. So, so let your request be made known unto God. And then, following this proper prayer, what's going to take place in verse 7? Talks about the peace of God. Now, what is the difference between the peace of God and the peace with God? Is there any difference? What is the difference? All right. Put this up here. Yes, okay.
We're no longer fighting and worry. We are at peace with God because we have accepted his way of salvation.
Okay. Now let's say Romans 5, verse 1. Yes. Well, you can't hear it. Speak a little bit because people can't hear you.
You can't
hear it. Talk a little louder.
I'll try if I can remember what I said. Peace.
Peace with God.
I was talking about peace with God, and that was precisely written in has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior.
All right. So let's say that. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, that's important. So the peace of God, if you have the peace of God, what does he define that as? What is one of the qualifications or descriptions? Yes, Tammy.
And the peace of God is the fruit of the Spirit.
All right. Fruit of the Spirit. Let's say that. Galatians 5:22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So it's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Who has the Holy Spirit living in? Believers, the saved ones. Unsaved have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. They're completely just their flesh is all they have. So the fruit of the Spirit, the results of the Spirit of being filled with Him and controlled by Him, He has the peace. So the peace of God says it passeth all understanding. What does that mean?
We don't understand it.
We don't understand the peace of God.
Sometimes the great distress and great things, we have the peace we can't
really
figure out.
Well, that can't figure out. All right, and the world doesn't know anything about it. The peace that passeth all understanding of either the saved or unsaved, either one. They don't can't figure it out. Why does this person, in the midst of calamity, have God's peace? Yes, Tammy?
Sometimes they mistake it for not having any feelings or having no emotions because we have peace in the midst of a calamity.
Uh-huh.
They say, oh, well, that person has no emotions. Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
Because
God has given us peace. Alright, that's true. The peace, the past understanding, and just because we're, as you say, quiet, doesn't mean we don't have peace. When the sea is at peace, not that the sea is ever completely at peace, but sometimes lakes and rivers can be at peace and they're flat, but the waves, when they start cutting up, the storms, the waves come, so that's not a peaceful sea situation. But it says in the book of Isaiah, the wicked are like the what? The sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, says my God, the wicked. They're like the waves that suggest the
Tyler? Yeah, Zom's situation with the
can you talk a little closer, Bill?
Zom's situation with his brain surgery and things like that. He was...
They put it down a little too, man. Down a little.
We had a person who was understanding of the situation said, "Oh, he must be so scared." No, why is he going to be scared? God hand, God say, "Rod, this we'll see it through, whatever it is." No reason to be scared.
Peace of God. Yes. So speak up for this guy.
My friend Zom.
Oh, okay.
Is going going into brain surgery.
Oh, okay.
And a person who knew about the surgery, also somewhat of a Christian, said, "Oh, he might be so scary." No, he's not scared. Why are you scared? And he said, "Oh, you must be so upset." I said, "No, I'm not upset. Why should we be upset? You know, it's God's one of God's things that he's brought it. He'll see it through, whatever, whichever way. You know, Job says, whether it's good or bad comes, God brings it all. So just trust in the Lord. Why be upset?"
Because they know what's going to happen to them.
That's going to be a successful operation. Operation is great, but the patient dies.
Yep.
Never know. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
So this peace that talks about here, the peace of God, is passes all understanding. We don't understand and comprehend it. Now, the promise of this peace in verse 7 is what? What will this peace of God do?
Keep your heart and mind.
What is that word in the sense of keep? In what sense does that mean?
Protection,
all right. What else?
Guard.
Certainly guard is part of it. That'll keep our hearts and our mind. What protect? What's the difference between the heart and the mind? Is that the difference? Emotion or physically, that requires the feelings, the other is the mind, that's the thinking process. So the heart and the mind, both have to be kept. What if you have your mind kept but not your heart? What if you have your heart kept but not the mind? Is there some difference there?
Yeah.
What's important about the heart that has to be kept? Do they go together necessarily? Do they have to?
You have some keep functioning in case you don't. If it doesn't function, then your mind goes.
And the spiritual interpretation of heart is what? That's the physical, the heart. Was it? Well, the will is part of it. The feelings, the innermost being, it's a part of the central part of our beings, the heart. Now the mind. What does the mind do that the heart doesn't do?
Understanding, wisdom.
Our understanding, thoughts that are, you know, intellectual things. But somebody says, he has no heart. She has no heart. What does that mean? Doesn't care, no feelings, just sort of a cool. Now, somebody says, he or she has no brains. Well, I'm
dumb.
I'm a little bit not using them, maybe. But so we have to balance our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts, and our thoughts, our hearts and minds. And then keep and guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Very important to see that. Peace of God, which shall keep your hearts and minds. Minds should not be worried or concerned or careful for anything, nor should our hearts.
Well, they are,
yeah, sometimes that they get upset, but if you have the peace of God, things are smooth.
John said he was scared to his mind, but his heart was scared.
But he wasn't scared. He wasn't scared.
Yeah. If the person was scared, his mind's working over.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, Ron?
Those are John,
what are John's friends. You want to zoom in on that?
I misplaced
one. Zoom's friends. So zoom in on that picture there, Bill, if you can.
Those pictures,
I
don't understand.
That's his family.
Yeah.
We said John's friends. We didn't know friends, family, whatever. You've said that to us.
No,
that's the other one, Bill.
His wife and children.
That's John's friend, yeah.
His wife is a friend there?
Yeah.
That's Jonathan's friend. We just knew Jonathan's friends were there, so he sent us some of those things. So he's the one that's been sick. Yeah. All right.
And he sent in Jonathan.
Can we explain the other pictures while we're there?
While we're there, great. Explain it there, Bill. See where they are?
Right.
That's the wedding of Tim Carroll. That's his wedding there. Our violinist. All right. What's the next one, Bill? You got another one there? That's some more for the wedding. Tim Carroll, the violinist.
And then down to the right is Mrs. Carroll in a wheelchair.
To the right is Mrs.
Carroll. And one of their grandsons.
Wheelchair and a grandson. They're at the wedding. Is that it, honey? Anything else you want to see? there's the waits at the Dean Bergen Society meeting. Getting off the bus there at Chicago. And, I guess that's about all. All right, we'll go back to our... Howdy. John, good to see you. Yeah, that's...
Carl
Albert on the roof from Maine.
No, he's at the wedding.
Fiddler's at the wedding. All right, thank you. We'll go back to our study. We're in the book of Philippians chapter 4, and we're first number 7. We finished number 7. Yes.
I know, and what would you tell... Dan and his family about Mr. Gerst. He does know Mr. Gerst.
Well, Mr. Gerst is in the hospital with a heart failure, and he's not long for this world. His daughter called, asked us to pray for him and for his wife as well, Mary Gerst. She lives close by here. Asked us to pray for John, and he supports Dr. Williams, as you know, and he's very faithful. Dr. Bennett in Australia. All right, Philippians chapter 4, and we're in verse number 8. Now, when Paul says... He's in Michigan, yeah. Dr. Sanders is in Michigan. Longbranch, Michigan. Yeah. Supports Dr. Bennett faithfully, has been for many years. As I recall, when he was at Adonai's Baptist Church, the deacons wanted to trash and scrap Dr. Bennett, not support him any longer. I don't know how it turned out, whether they did or didn't, but one thing... John Dressel was the deacon at the time. He spoke up in favor of Dr. Benner. We ought to keep supporting him. And when he moved away, he still supports him. So praise the Lord for that. He's got a good heart. That's right. Steve Mortimer, yeah. All right, notice he says in verse number, number 8, finally. What does that usually mean?
Near the end.
Near the end, last. All right. Now, he gives a number of things that we're to think upon. How many, let's count them up first before we go into it. Now, verse 8, how many things are we to think about? Count them up. Six, eight. We have a division of the house. Who's right? Six or eight?
Eight.
We have two saying eight.
No,
eight.
There's eight.
There's eight. We want to get everybody on the same page. Joanne.
Where we are, Joanne?
Verse eight. 4:8 of Philippians. All right, kind of true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. That's eight. Okay, we're all on the same page. All right. Now, what are we to do with all these things? What's the last part of this verse?
Think. Yeah, Anna? No.
If you think
about it, the Bible will fit all these qualifications.
In what way will the Bible fit all these qualifications?
The Bible is true. The Bible is honest. The Bible is just.
Okay, the Bible is all these things characteristic of the Scripture, all right? All right. So when you think about things, what do you do when you think?
Mull
it over.
Meditate.
Your mind is there. What does Joshua 1:8 say? So meditate therein day and night. That's how have good success. Just want meditate. What does Psalm 1 say about meditating? It is law that the meditate day and night. The tree planted like a rivers of water. That is law, so meditate. So it's the thinking of these things. And now, if you think on bad things, what might happen? Anna?
Joshua 1:8,
you
forgot to pray, that
thou mayest
observe to do according to all that
is in there. Thou mayest observe to all that is contained there. Okay, we've got that prayer. Thank you. Questions@bftbc.org. You give us an email or call us at 856-261-9018. When you think about bad things, what might happen to you?
You get the wrong mindset.
Might get frightened. What else?
You have the wrong mindset.
Wrong mindset.
Steer in the wrong direction.
Wrong direction. You could get into that wrong thing you're thinking about, see? Bad thing. But thinking of good things, that's going to help us, not hinder us, see? Jonathan?
Yeah, again and again, I see people that get in a negative mind. Oh, well, that, we got to worry about that, we got to worry about how we can't. And they just get into this whole negative mindset that it's just like impossible to break through it. Like, wait a minute.
All right.
Think of something, I think of possible good things.
Uh-huh. All right. So let's think of these things. Let's go through the eight things we talked about. The first thing, what sort of things are true? What does that mean? Opposite of what?
False.
Where do we find truth?
The
Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. The Bible, truth. You got also, my word is truth. Also in physical things that are factually true. So we have natural truths and we have spiritual truths. Am I right? Factual and spiritual and earthly. And the things that you think are true in the natural, sometimes are not true. We take people's word a lot of times. Am I right on that? We haven't really seen through the whole thing, but we take people's word. But in the Scriptures, we've got them right here. We read them. We got the right Bible, English. We think it's the King James Bible, so accurate translation. Greek we have, Hebrew we have. What things are true? Think on the things that are true. What's the second thing we're to think of?
Honest.
What does that mean? Honest.
Don't
be a cheat. Tax cheat or otherwise that we have in our cabinet.
Or the United States.
Oh, the United States, absolutely. Opposite of this honesty is what?
Liars.
Liars, untruth, dishonest, people that are not honest. What does a person that thinking upon honesty, what might he or she do? Think on honesty.
Confess.
Confess if you think on honesty?
No, they're honest.
All right, well, that's a good thing. Yes, so they bring to mind the things that are wrong. Honesty is the best policy. That's what they say. Honesty is the best policy. Right. So, a lot of people lie. We talked to someone recently and said that they didn't tell exactly the truth and they were burdened by that. They confessed it before the Lord forgave them before it's all. But that's interesting that we have this, everything's all right. We've got to be honest and true. A lot of people, what does it mean to have their hearts or their consciences seared with a hot iron? What does that mean? What does that do to honesty? If your conscience is seared with a hot iron, Annie?
It's like they sin so much and they sin and then their conscience tells them they shouldn't be doing it, but then they keep on doing it and pretty soon they stop listening, they stop hearing, especially
in
the conscience telling them not to do it.
All right, that's one thing, but what if that conscience that tries to tell them not to do it is seared with a hot iron? What happens
that's
to
one
it?
Thing.
It's scarred.
Well, Vanessa, the way you said it, it sounds like your conscience is still working. You don't listen to it. But if it's seared with a hot iron, can a conscience anymore talk to you?
No.
See, can it ever register? See?
You can
neglect it. What happens when you have scar tissue in a hand or an arm or anywhere? Can you feel it anymore?
No.
Can't feel it. I mean, it's just nothing. It doesn't have any sensitivity. So if it's seared with hot iron, there's no relationship. You can't, the conscience doesn't communicate.
The scar
to remind you of dishonesty. That's something to think about. Yes, John?
On whatsoever things are honest. I'm working in the antique business, and there's a lot of situations come out, well, is this like this, what is the age of this, there's a lot of representation things, and there's a lot of opportunities for honesty and dishonesty, and the company I'm working for has always been very honest, and that's really a comfort and a good thing, but there's always a challenge, and it's like continuously on everything. Well, it's got a little flaw here, and how do you represent it? In your activity, you don't really run into it so much in dealing with people and trying to represent things. With somebody who's trying to make a living, trying to just exist on each sale or whatever, each transaction, it's hard to, you can get two things, one in representing something, and then in dealing with somebody who's trying to sell the company something that's false. You know, if you get to be honest, then you tend to trust people when they shouldn't be trusted.
Right. What do we have in Washington? The Bureau of Weights and Measures. What's the purpose of that bureau?
Scales,
right? So that when you got a pound of things, you'd be sure that short should be 3/4 of a pound. A full pound, full measure.
8 fluid ounces.
8 fluid ounces.
Well, that's the code, and it's 12.
I see. Okay. My grandma Waits used to use the expression all wool and a yard wide. People trying to sell things that are half wool and half cotton, all wool. Also, not a full yard, but a couple inches short of a yard. So it's all wool and a yard wide. So she has a standard of honesty. And that's an important thing to have. And up front with people, that's important. I won't go into it, but last couple of weeks ago, we had a list of, some man wrote an article, a list of our president that 12 different things that he made as far as before he was candidating, and then coming through. And they didn't come to pass. This is the last president we have right now.
He's the first one that's made.
There's lots of lying people. Bush made some statements, Senior and all the others. That's what politicians. That's what politicians do. You see, they say to get elected, you promise them something. That's right. So, honesty. Yeah, watch the lips. Right by H. The first. So. But we got to be honest. Right, what's the third thing here? Whatsoever, what else?
Just.
What does just mean? We talked this morning about Lot, who was a just man. Doesn't look like he's cussed, but that's what God said. What does it mean?
He listens to the facts and comes to a decision that's good and firm and not sneaky.
All right.
Fair.
Fair, unbiased,
fair and
just. Righteous. That's right. That word just comes from righteous. So just think of things that what you think that are just. Fair. Now, we talked this morning about God's righteous or just judgments. God is just. He's righteous. He's fair. Do you always agree with the just judgment? You don't always agree because sometimes the justice goes against you. When it goes against us, we go, oh, that's too bad. But if it's just, if we did something that we deserve punishment for, then justice is ours. You know? So the thing about it is, those of us who are saved and born again should be very glad that we have God's grace and not our justice. Things that we've done in our lives, if God were to be completely just and not forgiving because we're in Christ and saved, we would be in serious trouble. But people say, I demand my justice. I don't want the justice. I'm glad for grace and forgiveness by God of us who are sinners, and our sins can be forgiven in Christ. But whatsoever things are just. What's the fourth thing?
Really
pure.
Yeah.
Pure. What is it? What is it? What was it again?
Whatsoever
things are pure. That's right. Now, pure means what?
Clean.
All right, clean. Not impure, not filthy. What is it?
Holy.
Absolutely holy. What is it? Alloy. Alloy.
That means
10%
of brick.
Yeah.
100% of what it is.
100%. No alloy in it. No mixture.
No mixture.
Okay, no mixture.
All pure.
All
wool.
All wool. 100%. So things that are pure. We should have purity of heart, purity of mind, purity of body, cleanliness, purity is important. Think on the purity of things. And what's the next thing? Is it five or five? What sort of things are what?
Lovely.
Why lovely? What would lovely be?
Beautiful woman.
Beautiful woman. Handsome man. Lovely. What does that mean?
Nice flowers.
Beautiful flowers. Look at those beautiful things.
Anthony
brings up. What's that?
Beautiful character.
Anna? Could be spiritual loveliness, yes?
Well, it's Psalm 9, it says that, you know, there's the glory of God,
and there's the
glory
of God.
Anywhere,
yeah. That's lovely. Lovely creation? Yeah. That's right.
Lovely
time? Have fun?
Lovely is more than beautiful.
All right. Lovely more than beautiful? Inner quality, inner loveliness, Tammy?
What is the meaning of the
fortune
being called the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon?
Rose of Sharon? Certainly lovely as far as beautiful.
But I mean, what
what that brings up?
Relates to its character?
Probably its character, yes. The character and the beauty as far as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. They're beauty, they're fresh, they're alive, there's no contamination. And that's where the word is perfect, absolutely perfect. Yes, you can? Yes. They're all together, lovely. As it says in the Song of Solomon, we think that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all together, lovely. Tabernacle, beautiful. So the things that are lovely, yes, Jonathan?
I knew this lady in a certain city who, when I was working in social services, when I first met her, I just struck me, this lady is one of the ugliest people I've met.
May I quote you?
Huh?
May I quote you?
No name. But as I got to know her, she was just a beautiful person. And I didn't see her at all the same way.
Yes.
Just a very nice, lovely person.
Very good.
And that initial physical impression just went away. Totally.
Yes. They use the expression beautiful but dumb, you know, sometimes. They also use an expression in the Old Testament, pearl in the swine's snout. It's like what? A fair woman without discretion. Like a pearl in a swine's snout. What does a swine need of a pearl?
It's a brain and all the
What is it?
The
Pearl River?
Hey.
Yeah, pearl swine. Otherwise, it's out of place. You don't need a, you know, swine don't go around with pearls. It goes around your neck, but a woman without discretion. What's that?
Which one? We have people that seem to be doing that today.
What do you have?
Unfortunately, pearls and snouts.
Oh, sometimes they do have, unfortunately, you're right. Pearls and snouts. They do have pearls and snouts. All kinds of things. And the snout, the ears, the side, they've got all these things.
You can't make
so it's a fair one without discretion, see.
You can't make a silk purse
out of the snout. Yeah, that's another thing. He's six providers out here. Can't do it. So loveliness. Anna, you looking up loveliness? Okay. So, we believe that this lovely is not simply external, I think we've established, but also internal loveliness. An internal beauty, as Jonathan said, an ugly woman, that's beautiful spirit, lovely inside. Yeah, Jonathan?
I think loveliness is something that brings a feeling of happiness to the to the viewer.
Yes.
Just an impression. You don't have to... It's too... You can't quantify it, but it just brings you to happiness.
I went to the food store yesterday, Super Fresh. I had a lovely cashier, the lady. She had a beautiful voice. She didn't look like a whole lot, but she was very friendly. She was friendly. I can't explain it. Every time she talked, she was a friendly manner, a friendly this, a thank you, something. I almost, well, some of them were trained, some of them didn't talk. And look at
was
that?
The act first standing with an H.
I don't know what I didn't know her name. I didn't see on the thing. I hadn't seen her before. It was the first time I had her as a checkout. I went in there. There was only one place to go, and there was two. But I can't explain it. But I almost said to her, "I haven't seen you before." But I didn't say anything. But all I know is I remember the kind, lovely personality in the voice that came through was very nice.
I had a friend like John, Julie.
Really? Is that right? That's good. Yes, that's good. Yeah, Dan?
Here's a verse, Zechariah 11:7. The one I call beauty, the other I call bands. And I fed the flock. So beauty and bands.
All right. That's beauty and bands, all right. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when I worked at Two Guys, I was at a still in high school, and that was my part-time job. And it was a checkout in the grocery department. And my line was really long, so the manager went over and said, well, the other cashier will thank you. And I said, oh, no, we only go to Joanne.
Well, you're loving this shine forth, I guess.
She took extra coupons.
No, because I didn't argue with the customers. A lot of times they would come and they would say to me, such is on special and stuff.
Yeah.
And the other cashiers would go and they'd look it up in the paper and, you know, like they just didn't take people's word for it. And I mean, I thought that most people were honest, and they are.
That's
true. And
so, I mean,
it really
did pay off. That's right. So you were a lovely cashier, and they knew it, and they came to you, line it up. Okay. Well, that's good. So what sort of things are lovely? Answer and answer. Yes, ma'am?
Watch how often you go over there.
Honey, don't worry about it.
Go over there
all the time. You got relieved of that job,
right? No, I'm saying... She was
kind.
She was kind. She wasn't beautiful. She was sort of, you know, she, I don't want to say what she was, but she wasn't certainly somebody that you'd be concerned about.
Sure. No, you never can tell.
No. Well, so the loveliness, internal and outer. External, internal. Yes.
I just want to say, it really does make a difference when people are
kind.
Yes. You know, it does touch your heart.
Yes.
It really does.
Yes,
it does.
That's right. It gets right down to where you live. And it's important. See, we have a lot, not too many people that way anymore. They're lovely inside and outside. Yeah, Jonathan?
I have to confess that sometimes I'm not nice on the phone.
Really?
I get these telemarketers call up, and sometimes I just have to be rude.
Yeah.
Just to get them off the phone after like 5 minutes
and
say,
yeah. Well, the other way is just simply hang it up, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Don't answer it. So you admit you're not lovely all the time on the phone.
And then sometimes it carries over to somebody who doesn't deserve it.
Uh-oh. You know. The carryover. We got to be careful. These carryovers.
So it's
something
we have to, you know.
All right. Now, let's go to the next one. What's the danger of good report? What is that?
True.
I've got to talk about something that you have something positive to say about.
All right. All right. So, good report. Yes, John?
And the other thing is to talk about, like, we think of, we hear so many things on the news, we think a lot of bad reports, but there's good things out there that are happening, and we should also focus on some of these things and propagate this, especially about Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is the Savior.
I know there's someone in our bedroom every night, when it turns 11 o'clock, they go to the 11 o'clock news. I'd rather go to sleep, they go, I'm not
there.
Someone in the bedroom. And she turns the thing on, and mostly it's bad reports. This was shot here, this was shot here, this was stealing here. So it seems that they like that. They like them. Exactly.
They want to hear all the bad.
Oh, that's right. That's what makes news.
Every old party line, everybody needs to listen to that.
Yeah. We don't always have good report, do we? We don't always have. We have to sometimes seek and search at that. Okay?
Well, it just reminds me of the person in Psalm
15,
I believe it's
Psalm 15,
where it's talking about who shall dwell on the Lord's hill, and the answer
pure,
right? Right, and then it talks about that takes on up a reproach against his neighbor. In other words, if somebody says something bad to you about some person that you don't take to your heart, I mean, you have to find the situation out for yourself. You don't have to necessarily go search for it.
Yeah.
But that tells you something about the person that said it. And so, so that kind of relates to the report as well, as far as a good report.
Uh-huh.
You should be the kind of person that talks about people's
there are few good reports around, but let's think on those things while you can find them. Look for them, seek them out, then think on those good things, those good reports. Think about report cards. Did you always have a good report card? Just think about it. Different all the subjects, good report, all those saw? I hope so. But sometimes you have bad reports, but you think of the good ones. Well, at that particular time, I had a good report on Spanish and French and English and geography. You know, those good reports. So, now think on these things.
None of these bad reports that you're facing here, they're on roll.
Yeah.
Honorable,
right, yeah.
Just made.
Yeah, that's right, just made. Different things. Good reports. Yes, gentlemen?
We should think about what can we do that would have a good report.
Yes. That's good. So that our lives, our actions, whatever we do, whatever we say, the Lord would have a good report. It's important that the Lord gives us a report, not simply people. Now, people can give a good report of bad people, am I right? Some bad people think bad things are good. Bad is good and good is bad. What?
Yeah, I have a confession to
make. Wow.
Number two
confession.
Yeah, we have one before.
Well, no, Jonathan had one.
Oh, okay.
And another person before that, but I won't mention that name.
I feel very, very condemned
or
something.
Uh-oh.
Well, at lunch, I got to talking about somebody. And things that really bothered me about someone in the family.
Uh-huh.
And really something that bothered me. I've never really expressed it before except to you. And I've gone on and on and on and on. And then when I got done, I didn't have to say more. And then when I got done, I said, I shouldn't be saying all this stuff.
What was that?
I don't know. You were here. You were eating candy. You were eating the chocolate.
You were eating candy. Only on Sunday when Anthony gets me in trouble with his chocolate. Okay, they're very good, Anthony. Keep it up. Go ahead, Bob.
What I was talking about, really, not that I was talking, that bothered me, but what I was talking about bothered me. That's probably why I was talking about it. But then I went over and I saw Tammy, and I said, I thought she was bothered about something else. Well, she was bothered about my talking about the family, which I had, and I said, you're right. Bothered me ever since, but I can't take any of the words back.
No, once we broke it, once the cat out of the bag, we can't.
Even though everything I said was really how I felt, I guess I should have been going to a psychiatrist or something and telling them. And anyhow, but I thought that now we're here talking about good report.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw these persons, I thought, that's me. But, you know, all these things, and yet it was honest. It was just. I don't know what I was pure. I don't know if it's lovely. But I guess it wasn't good before.
All right, so
it's
difficult to find good reports about everybody. No question about it.
Two things that
committed me. Tammy,
I was committed to myself. Tammy, and Tammy were convicted me. Here, she's in the family, but she's not even the grandmother. She's not even bloodly related to this person. I'm just
right.
Dishing. And yet, there's wonderful things about this. So, I don't know, I just feel like, first, I've got to confess this because I got this for another Catholic or anything. But I guess I want God, he knows already, but I guess I want to say it for the first time I talk to this in here. But yet, I don't know where I'm going with
this. Okay. Jonathan's got something to say. He'll carry on from there.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But the thing is, I have to finish. I'm sorry, but the damage has been done.
That's
all right, John.
Yeah, it's good we can confess before God and he'll relieve us of all sin.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I didn't hear what
you
were saying.
I wasn't there. I don't remember anything.
Sometimes we have to ventilate. And sometimes I know somebody that I talk to occasionally, and they just have to ventilate, and I let them do that because they just have to relax and get it out and get it done. And I don't really take to heart that much what they're saying. But and the other thing is sometimes we need to say something that's true about somebody so that they can be forewarned or knowledgeable, not in a bad way. Not, you know, sometimes we can have a malicious side to it, but you know, it's kind of a gray area there.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it to God and
yeah. Right, Joanne.
Well, I don't know if I this is right or wrong. You have to tell me, but I was always taught that feelings are not right or wrong. That's how you feel.
Uh huh.
And I mean, you know, hopefully that you know God helps us with our feelings, but you can't. But we can't help the way we feel. This is the way we feel about something.
Yeah.
Right?
We may not have to express what we how we feel, just keep it to ourselves, but sometimes how we feel, of course, can we feel wickedly? Can we feel sin? Our conduct and our thoughts, our thoughts could be sinful and wicked. But how we feel just in general about certain things, that's what you mean?
Yes. I mean, I don't know about how, I don't know how you can feel wicked. I mean, I never felt wicked, I guess. I mean, I feel sad, I feel happy, I feel angry.
Well, I guess, what I think about how we feel about sin, for example.
Yes.
Now, that could be wrong. See, how we feel about sin, if we feel good about sin, then that's bad.
Yes.
But how we feel, I understand what you mean, the feelings, but not to draw on anything that's wrong, just how we feel. I feel sick, I feel good, I feel happy, I feel discouraged. One way or another. All right, lovely, thanks. All right, we got those lovely. Did we finish the lovelies? A good report, right? Good report. All right. So if we can find any good report, think about it, see? Now, what's the next one?
Virtue.
The virtue. What does that mean? Yeah, Anna, you got good questions at bftbc.org. What's that?
We have a good report. Christ died to save sinners and was buried and rose again the third day.
That's a good report. Christ died to save sinners. Absolutely. Died for our sins, was buried, the third day rose again. So virtue means what? If there be any virtue. Speak a little louder so we all can hear.
I'm reading the footnote.
You read it a little louder.
Moral excellence, chastity, merit, valor, effective power.
All right.
Or force.
Okay. So remember in Proverbs 31, is it 31? It
yeah.
Describes what kind of a woman?
Virtuous
woman, see? Virtue. Very good. So virtue is things that are fine. Decent, upright, pure, and perfect. Yes, fine.
Yes, yes. I'm about the virtue of clothing. I don't remember. I like to go to the farmer's market.
Oh, yes. I remember you asked
me. I like to get the apples and peaches and tomatoes. I don't do a lot of cooking, but it's an effort for me to go there.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Farmer's market in college with
yeah,
Saturdays.
Yeah.
Up till 12 noon.
And my husband goes.
You've been there. Sure you've been there. Yeah.
My husband goes there. He drops me off and he waits and I get these things. And it's an effort because I'm older. So I say to him, you know, the virtuous woman, she went to the market. Nobody got hungry in her house. She was perfect, the virtuous woman.
Yep.
So I said, do you suppose the virtuous woman went to the market when she was 82?
I don't know. It's supposed to be there to get her food if she lived that long. Well, surely they didn't live too many years.
I mean, can't we have some out?
Well, we're always looking for out. I know that. Excuses.
Yes,
but
then,
I think as you get older, you have to make choices. You can't just do everything you did before.
Yeah. The limitations.
Yeah, I told my daughter that, so I have to make choices now.
Yeah. You never choose before.
Do everything that I could do on the
Yeah.
Party.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to make choices.
Yes, that's right.
When we were in Italy, the market used to come to the people.
Oh.
They would come, and I mean, some of these people lived in high-rise buildings.
Uh-huh.
And they would let down a basket, and they would, you know, whatever they wanted. If they wanted the goat's milk, if they wanted apples, and whatever, they got in. The ladies just gave them a half and pulled up their basket.
You're in Italy? How long were you in Italy?
3 months.
3 months visiting, huh? Because your mom and dad are Italian, right?
Yeah,
like
my mother and my father. And my
so you visited some of the relatives in Italy? Or?
Yeah, we visited relatives.
I see. What's it?
Right. You know, we had a great big farmers market and clothing and everything.
Right.
Bakery.
The whole thing.
It's called Le Darn.
What's that? That's in Croatia or where you live?
Wait.
Yes.
Well, I'll show you.
Yeah.
But did they also have the people that would come around?
Oh, you go right to the market. Right. Bakeries are around along the way.
But I think that this was like for the people that maybe were sick and didn't want to
Yeah.
They had that in kids.
Yeah.
Guys,
when I was a little boy, the milkman used to come and deliver the milk.
That's
and come out. Yeah, huh?
When we lived here, the milkman came.
Still.
We used to have a vegetable man.
44 years ago, yeah.
And you could go get vegetables from him.
Yeah. John came to you.
The paper bags, he used to call. Go around and
bring
around.
Iceman
coming, yeah.
Close.
Yeah, close. Diana?
What does this have to do with virtue?
Well, the virtue is that people would do things and be nice and what do the go to be the virtuous woman. See, we got the virtuous woman. Yeah. At 82, can you still be a virtuous woman? All right, go ahead, Adam.
Yeah.
Yes, you still can.
Well, you
even at 81 or 80 or 79. Yes, go ahead, Adam.
Well, how do we get on the market?
Well, that's the virtuous. That's part of the virtuous woman. Has Jonathan?
Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
Kirk Douglas wrote a book, The Ragman's Son.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His father was a ragman.
Oh.
And would go around and collect the rags and trade in rags.
Uh-huh.
That's about the lowest you can get in society. And but his father was virtuous.
That's
interesting. He was the ragman's son, and he rose to a high position in society. Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas. Would that be called a ragamuffin? That's good. Ragamuffin, sir. That's good, sir. Virtuous. Yeah, huh?
You remember the raggedy man you went to the park?
That's the nicest man you ever saw. That's right. I remember that.
She must have known what they did with the rags.
So, the gentleman who's got the big art and steel business, and they all make money.
Well, they make money on the rags.
They would take rags and make them into paper.
And the paper
has certain values.
I see. All right, so the virtue. What's our think on these virtuous things? What's the last thing here? Praise. What is praise? Any praise? Some churches always have a song they sing of praise. What's that called?
An
ode. An ode? What else? What's that song of praise they sing? What is that called? The doxology. What does doxa mean? Doxa means praise and glory. That's right. Doxa. So the doxology. Praise to God. Praise God for whom all blessings flow. So this is right in the front, yes,
ma'am? When I went to Bible school, we were taught the first song in the hymn. The first song in the worship hymn was to praise God. Thoughts of God. Not thoughts, thoughts of God. The first song.
Huh?
That was what I was taught.
Subsequent songs and thoughts of song?
There could be more. There could be more than what Jesus did for me. But first God, and then what Jesus did for me.
Mm-hmm. What's another word for praise?
I don't know.
Adoration.
Adoration? What is that? Love, the Lord and honor, praise and glory, give glory to, excellence, God's glory. All right, so anything that's praiseworthy, like God is, and as the scriptures are, all these things. So think on these things. So these are the eight things. Any other comments on any of these eight before we go on to the next verse? Yes, Anna?
I repeat, the Bible fits all of these.
The Bible, you repeat, fits all of these things. It's true, it's lovely, it's all these things. It's filled with virtue, good report, and praise, all these things. Honest. All right, the questions at bfdbc.org. If you have something, give us a call, say hello if you're listening, and also call us at 856-261-9018. Yes,
I know.
Go ahead. Yes, they went fast.
They haven't heard from a soul. They must be away.
Well, that's how the soul may be away. Here we have a couple of minutes. David and Barbara, they're all unlabouring. Okay. So let's go on now. Let's read verses 8, 9, and 10. Was it? I know. We start. See, we don't count some of the songs. So we got two more minutes. All right. Let's read verses 9, 10, and 11, please. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We'll stop right here. We're picking up for really next Lord's Day at verse number 9, but do you have any other comments? For questions before we close today. Any more questions? Yes. All right. All right. All right. The College of Bible Presbyterian Church has had a concert at 9/11, September the 11th, on Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Featured artists: Justin Gonzalez, tenor; John Gross, organist. Free will offering at the church. So let's. Pastor, remember, sir, bless you. All right, thank you.
And if anybody wants to come down to my house tomorrow at 2 o'clock to join the school for the property and the course and the fantastic floor, you're all welcome. But if somebody wants chocolate to sell,
1751 Sick River Road. Well, thank you, Frank. Thank you for the invitation, Adam. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, then let's close in for the word of prayer. Our Father, we thank and praise Thee for Thy grace. We thank Thee that all these things that Paul has mentioned to us can be ours to think about. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can be anxious and worried and careful about not a single thing, because Thy peace can fill us and guard us and keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. We thank Thee for this privilege, those of us who are saved and born again, that we don't need to have worry and fret, regardless of our state. We look to Thee to answer these questions and these problems that we might have. Guide us and direct us, bring us back safely on Thursday evening, Bible study, and on the Lord's Day next week, and keep us in the hollow of Thy hands. There'll be those listening to us that are lost, unsaved, that they come to Christ genuinely, be born again. We pray in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Well, thank you for coming.